You're listening to an Irreverent Podcast.
For more unholy content from our friends, head to irreverent.fm.
Hey friends, welcome to the Speaking in Church Podcast. It's your girl Josie. As always, as per usual, and today we're joined by my new real life friend in the real world off the internet, Savannah Thomas. Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Josie. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for wanting to be on the podcast. It's funny because we met at church, and surprisingly, none of these bitches at church want to be on the podcast.
Oh.
To be fair, I haven't asked anybody. Oh. But maybe this is just, I would want to be on somebody's podcast if I knew somebody.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's just my own confidence and I'm interesting enough to be on a podcast, right?
I think it's, if you think you're interesting enough, then you're going to reach into your life and pull out the interesting stuff.
Yeah. Or at least like my story is fucked up enough to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, we can cry over it, so there you go.
Exactly. All right, well, Savannah, tell us all about your life story, your testimony, how you ended up at a fucking gay-ass church, our cool, progressive, hippy-dippy 420 church. That's the address, friends, but also, it's a lot of weed.
Well, yeah, that's, where do I start? So I guess I should start by saying I grew up primarily evangelical, although there are have been fundamental aspects of like my parents' religion, because they actually came out of Bill Gothard. So they kind of moved out of Bill Gothard. Like, they didn't eventually like the dress code. You know, dad wanted mom to wear pants, you know.
Oh, how progressive of him.
I know.
We love it.
He did just tell me in August that my jeans were too tight and we're going to make guys think stuff. But, you know, right. I'm still wearing those same jeans.
Never mind.
Anyway. Sorry, yeah, that's... Anyway. So, one thing that they really did hold on to was the whole authority bit. You know, the umbrella of authority. So... that was fun. But they always like told us, like me and my two sisters, like how lucky we were to grow up so sheltered, because they chose to homeschool us like whole way through, and just like how we had it so much better than they did, although dad was homeschooled most of the way through. And yeah, so I grew up kind of like, I was smart. I'm just gonna say it. Smart kid, smart person, but I was pretty oblivious, pretty just sheltered, and just like, okay, I didn't have the talk until I was 12 and a half. Okay. And it,
I mean, I didn't have the talk at all. So God bless your parents. My parents never told me any. I learned in middle school. Yeah. Anyways,
you were like,
I've heard it all, dad.
You're like, I already got it. But no, I hadn't had it, because I mean, I was home. So 12 and a half, once I got it, I was like, oh, okay. But do you like want to ask me more specific questions? Because like my life story is such a broad thing, and I can probably sit here and just grab at stuff all afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. I get you. It's a whirlwind. And you, like, not to out you, but you are young, so it feels you're still in the process of compiling information, I believe. And so,
yes.
Yeah, questions are, believe me, I've had a lot of questions to get to where I am today, which is not very far. So,
less debatable, but
yeah. Oh, thanks.
Tell
me now, let's start with now because it's the most recent. How is your family life now? I mean, I know you still live at home. So, what is that dynamic like?
Well, better than it was like over this past summer and early fall, because I learned how to be something called assertive. So
hell yeah.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got to a point in deconstructing where I just kind of had to tell my parents that, you know, I don't believe in hell anymore, that if, like, I kind of gave the impression like I didn't care what the Bible said, because at that moment I didn't care.
I don't care.
I know. And because what happened is I ended up at an Episcopalian church when I meant to go to an Anglican church, but I ended up there and I was like, oh, whatever. And they're affirming. So it started a whole conversation. And I finally had it. It was just like, I don't care, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think that was just kind of like where my parents were just like, oh, she doesn't hold the Bible with the, you know, like she doesn't hold it to the authority. We can't, you know, we just got to love her kind of thing. So it's pretty chill, pretty peaceful, and just like examples of how I've become more assertive than like as a child would be where, so my family, they go to different church than me, obviously, but it's my old church, and that church has a live stream for night church, and we all would listen even after I'd left, you know. And last couple Sundays I decided I don't want to listen to shit anymore, so not this past Sunday, but before I just left after I, you know, had dinner and then went to do school, and my dad's, you know, he comes and he's like, are you gonna come back out? And I'm like, no, I'm doing school. And he's like, oh, okay, this Sunday I'm gonna take a shower. So I'm like, guys, you want the bathroom before I shower? Because, you know, we like have one bathroom, basically. Well, sort of. That's a long story. But anyway, and dad's like, you're not going to listen to the message? And I'm like, no, I'm going to shower. And like, I know that's not supposed to be a big deal, but I grew up having to please everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, the message to me was, you can't be assertive. And if you are, if you stick up for yourself, you stick up for your sisters, you're basically kind of going to be punished more or less. So, like, just to be able to say no unapologetically is pretty, like, it's pretty powerful for me, you know? So things are pretty good at home. I still, like, get scared of, like, conflict, because it's not my favorite thing. But an evil part of me likes it, but the bigger part of me is like, huh?
It is not evil to like conflict, I'm going to tell you, because if it is, I am the devil, okay?
Well, you don't scare me, so I'm like, you're probably not the devil.
I think, being comfortable with, I think that little voice in your head is like, it's okay. It's okay. So it's not the bad part of you. It's a good part. It's the best part, if you ask me.
Well, it's the only part of me that ever got anything done, so.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's just, I guess, home life, like, I'd rather not be there because I want to be out on my own, you know, I want to be, But, you know, being there and just seeing how much different I am and just my relationships with my family are, it's kind of victorious for me and just empowering and kind of healing, because, like, I can say hands down, the person who has hurt me the most in my life is for sure my dad. I would even say it's on, I consider it to be an abusive level, and he doesn't anymore. He doesn't emotionally manipulate me or anything anymore, because I just dug my heels in over this past, I don't know, 6 months, and basically did what I wanted to do. Mm. So it's,
I think that's great. I mean, I get annoyed because in my culture and in my background religiously, it was always like, you have to honor your father and mother, which means that you have to obey them unconditionally and you always have to listen to them. And the older you get and the more of an adult you become, you realize, oh, honoring your parents is not just doing whatever the fuck they say. It's putting them in a position to not be able to hurt you. And that's what you did with your dad, because you shared the same religion, and so he was abusing you. I have no qualms with saying that parents are abusive. I don't give a fuck, okay? My parents were abusive, and I tell them to their face, okay? But you took him out of that position because, I mean, he was smart enough and had enough empathy to realize, oh, she doesn't believe the same thing that I do, so how am I supposed to use it against her?
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean, I commend you. You're doing the work. You're healing the generational trauma.
Yeah, it's exhausting. But
yeah, it sucks. It's why the fuck does it have to be me? That's very much
precisely.
Yeah.
I was like, why me? I'm just like, yeah, I just gotta write your mantras and keep going because, you know, I actually got released from therapy last week. So I was like in 13 weeks of one-on-one therapy, and we got to a point where she was like, do you need to come back? Like, you seem solid. And I was like, I'm fine. So
yeah,
kind of got let go from that. So that was a milestone.
Yeah. I mean, go back whenever you need to. I've been in therapy for 20 fucking years. And
wait, 20? But you're 28. You've been in there since you're 8 years old?
Yes, I have. I did, yeah.
You must be very comfortable there.
Oh, I mean, I still hate going to, because I do couples therapy now with Ryan, and it's, I mean, we do like, we have like an individual and a collective approach because my mommy issues kind of get in the way of my life, but I hate every time before I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. And I think part of it is I'm just like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. I don't want to rehash. But then it ends up being fine, obviously, except when Ryan doesn't say the right things and I get super upset. But you know, that's my own cross to bear. That's my own bullshit. But yeah, 20 years I've done it.
So your parents like believed in therapy?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I've told this story in the podcast, but I'll tell you because it's funny. So my parents were undocumented, and my dad went through like 20 years of trying to get his papers and or his green card for people that aren't familiar with papers. His green card. And it wasn't working for the longest time because my dad had gone back and forth via Coyote, which is the person that smuggles you across the border, because he wanted to see his mom. It was so much easier. Yeah, it was such bullshit back then. You could just literally walk over the border. It was whatever. So it was difficult for him, but he had been paying taxes and doing all that stuff, so he was a good citizen. But yeah, all growing up, my sister and I, we had to like send a report card to the judge and like be good kids, we can never get in trouble. And then at one point, the lawyer had seen success with children who needed medical attention that they couldn't get in Mexico. And they all basically were like, well, Josie's kind of fucked up. We should just send her to therapy and say that she can't go to Mexico because she won't receive therapy in Mexico. And that shit worked, okay? So no shade to my dad. It was only traumatic because my siblings were like, haha, you're crazy. And my mom would do nothing to stop it. They thought it was funny. And I was like, I'm not crazy. I'm just eccentric.
Eccentric's kind of cool,
though. I mean, I'm fucking crazy, but it's fine. I was diagnosed with OCD and depression at 7. So yeah, I was probably a little crazy. And I was too smart, right? Like you were saying, like I was just too smart of a kid for them to know what to do with. Especially when you're a little girl in evangelicalism that has a little bit of funny thrown in there. It's like, bitch, shut up. You're not supposed to be talking right now.
And you're like, but that's what I do.
I know. Why? My dad's like, your favorite question is why? And it's still my favorite question. So yeah, that's why I started therapy so young, and both a blessing and a curse. Really fucked up my family dynamic, but my brain is solid, okay? I know. I mean, no, it's not, but I know what's happening at least. I still have OCD and depression.
Well, I don't think they go away, but but that's interesting they let you, because I was always taught that like therapy or psychologist that it's going to be worldly, you know, bullshit. Well, they don't cuss, but you know, worldly stuff, and like who's going to mess us up. And so like my parents don't even know, obviously, I went to therapy. But I wish they would have bought me therapy, because I had anxiety over salvation since 7.
Mm.
And I didn't say anything till 10. Because I put the lid on things, and I, you know, eventually opened up to my mom, like, I'm scared, I'm not really Christian, so I don't want to go to hell. And honestly, that was pursued by like 2 years of just anxiety over that, and just like, I was having anxiety, like, I was a mess, and, like, they never got me any outside help. Like, they, you know, Bible verse band-aids, like, my life is too easy, that's why I have anxiety, or I'm worrying, so, I have it too easy, so I just have to worry, and by the time I was 12, I just was embarrassed about myself, and so I locked it down. And I stopped expressing anxiety, and like definitely a part of me died, I feel by the time I was 12. So yeah, I'm obviously a super big advocate. Not that I do anything, but like I would advocate for mental health and like therapy. And also having your kids, having your kids like assess, because like my sisters, we strongly suspect they have dyslexia, and like one of them a learning disability, and they're all homeschooled, never assessed.
Oh,
and they
my
just
god.
And yeah, and home, like they tell us how easy we have it because, you know, we're homeschooled. And I actually wanted to go to school as a kid, and then I'm in trouble because I keep wanting to say I want to go to school, and my dad's like yelling at me. He needs to go to therapy. He needs therapy so bad. Anyway, also his mom. But anyway, what was I saying? Yes, homeschooling, like, I hate homeschooling, but I'm not someone who would say homeschooling should be illegal. It just really, really needs to be monitored, and I know because...
Yeah, there's time and a place.
Yeah, but being homeschooled was kind of just an opportunity to get abused, because my dad had this method of doing math where we do five lessons, go over five lesson concepts in one day on his day off. And we're supposed to understand it all. And if we're not understanding it, if we're holding him to what he said before, at least that's how I remember it, we're being difficult. And so, like, many math lessons, you just end in tears because dad's yelling at you.
And math is so hard.
I know. And he used Saxon math. Okay, any homeschoolers out there, everyone knows Saxon math is the worst, except my dad. Mm. It's not the worst for him. But, I don't like homeschooling, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's ironic, like how we were just taught how protected we were, you know, from bullies or whatever. And I'm just like, it's so funny because I'm like, okay, I wasn't being bullied at school, but I was 100% bullied at home by my dad. And he's, you know, kind of macho. He's like, you know, he'll always protect us. And I'm like, be well from everyone but yourself.
Amen.
So I'm just like, yeah.
Sounds like your dad and I need to have a little conversation. I'm just kidding.
I like your vibe.
I'm your dad. I'm ready to fight at all times, okay? But I...
Yeah.
Verbally, physically, don't touch me.
Yeah. You already know I'm scrappy. You already were like...
Yeah. No, that's so... I hate homeschooling.
We're so isolated. We lived in Kentucky 10 years. And even when we moved back here, we had a church, like, once a week we'd go to church, but, like, so isolated. Like, I couldn't get no access to mental health stuff, no one I could talk to when I was, you know, being abused. And my mom actually was kind of bedridden for 2 years because she had, she lost her mom. Her mom died, and then she had a miscarriage with twins all in the same year.
Oh, my God. Physically,
she was, you know. And dad, he has a visual impairment, so he gets money for that. So he was able to not work and take care of all of us, and we could live off the, I think, social security money. And, like, he was so stressed. And, like, you know, when a parent is stressed, unless they know how to deal with it, the kids are gonna, it's gonna get taken out on them. And I feel like, for me, it's just, like, a really sad time to remember, because it's like my mom's out, and I'm like the type of person, like, I wouldn't just cry over everything. Like, I just would kind of just, I think I still numb out to this day. So I'm like, I think I was learning to numb out then, because, like, I knew my mom could die, and I at one point knew my dad thought she was gonna die, because he, like, asks my grandparents in front of us if they'll take us if Steph, my mom, ends up dying.
Oh my God.
I don't know if he doesn't remember it that way, but that's how 6 or 7 year old me remembers it. And I just like stand there and I'm like, okay, I wasn't a heartless little bitch. I guess was just soaking it up, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of like, what was wrong with me? But no, like, and just like, do you care if I list examples of how my dad was?
Don't care. I would love to know so I can use it as ammo when I meet him. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay. So, okay. We all got sick, all us kids, and he's like, we need to take these pills so we can get well. We're 6 and younger, and we, except for the baby. The baby can take pills. That kid can eat and consume anything. But, you know, the middle one of you, you can't swallow pills. Mm-hmm. And we're struggling, and they come, you know, come back up. And he, okay, my dad, my parents believe in spanking. I do not believe in spanking. I'm just going to say that. Mm-hmm. But he was like, okay, if they come back up, you're going to get spanked. They did.
I'm going to kick your ass. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, okay, I've been enjoying, like, in recent days, just looking back to the kind of kid I was. Because sometimes it's like, oh, I was belittled. I was made to feel small. But I was like, actually, I was kind of strong because he, like, I remember he took my arm and he's, like, dragging me to go get spanked because he's angry. And I would, like, stop and I, like, tried to pull out. Like, obviously, I couldn't. But I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just
you saw the injustice, yeah.
And I didn't need the Bible to tell me that. Mm-hmm. It. I knew, and I mean, obviously, I didn't get away. Whatever. I don't remember being spanked that particular time, but I just remember the anger and like trying to escape that. And I was trapped. And like, I think that was just has been like kind of like the primary message growing up was like, you're trapped. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. And then I'll throw another one in there. I remember. So one thing my dad takes very seriously is like instant obedience. Like you do whatever you know I say. Mm-hmm. And he would sometimes treat me like a trained monkey, like, so, like, a kind of thing, like, as a toddler, I liked to make the sound with my mouth of his motorcycle or scooter he had, and one time, I'm in a mood, apparently, like, I don't remember this, but Dad remembers it and is proud of himself. He remembers I was in a mood, and I wouldn't do it. I was just like, and so he spanked me, so I would do it, and we see that, or I see that again when I'm, like, 7 and we're like on the floor. I don't know if we were like talking or playing and he told me to say something. I don't know if I was supposed to apologize for something or whatever, but I guess I wasn't complying. And he has like this ball in his hand that's like it's like the hard bouncy balls, you know? Mm. It's from the Creation Museum. But he's like, if you don't say it, I'll throw it at you. And we're like probably within 3 feet of each other. I'm 7. I'm this tiny. I'm like, I was a tiny child, okay?
You're already so tiny!
I know. But anyway, I was always small for my age, but he, and like, I look back and I just can't believe my guts. I just looked at him and I didn't say what he told me to say after he threatened me, and of course it hit me in the face. And I was like, you know, put into bed crying because I actually would cry over physical pain. But like, I don't know, just looking back and just like, wow, he just needed to have control. And mm-hmm. I happen to know he was abused growing up. And I'm just like, apparently I've been abused on a lesser level and I believe it. But I'm just like,
this is not the struggle Olympics. All right. We're not comparing.
Okay. Well, that's what they always did. They're like, you've had it.
My parents too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just a thing they do. But I know. So it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm just saying all my stories that technically I don't want to remember, but I do remember. But I guess I'm just trying to paint a picture of what parts of my life were like. Because obviously it wasn't like that all the time. There was like, you know, mm-hmm. happy stuff and like, we love each other still. But it's just like, it was mixed in with just almost like a tyrannicalness, I guess. Maybe that's the word. Mm-hmm. And like it was the same, like if I try to speak up for my sisters, if I felt like they were being mistreated, I was the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's just like little by little your voice is taken away from you. And I guess that's why I'm always like, you know, fuck patriarchy. And when people like don't, because like my best friend, she is still evangelical and we get along and she holds space for me all the time and understands, but at the same time she's she doesn't hate Peach. She's like, oh, yeah. She doesn't have to take charge more, you know? And I'm just kind of like, girl, you don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but
I think this is important to talk about because these are the patterns of the type of people who cling on to evangelicalism more than anybody, especially in the patriarchy. Men who want control. Men who see the systems and think, oh, I can indoctrinate my family into this religion and all of a sudden I'm the big dog. I'm the boss. Yeah, of course they're going to go for it because, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. I mean, yeah. I was fortunate. My dad's not really like, I mean, he does believe that the man is the head of the household. But my dad is such a pacifist that he's wrapped around my little finger. Sorry, Dad. But also, you know, he wants the best for his family. But still, it's like, even though my dad was like that, the patriarchy still had its thumb on me because he believed it. And he was telling us about it. It's not enough to act right. If you're not teaching us right. And your dad was not doing neither. Not acting right or teaching right.
No, and he's like, he's the type of person, like, he'll apologize. I'm not saying he apologized for those specific things I talked about. But he'll apologize when he feels like he's done wrong. But the thing was, he'll do it again. Mm-hmm. He'll lose his temper again. He'll lose control. Like, he has low self-control. Like, I actually would say I have a lot of self-control. And it's because I had mm-hmm. to. Like, mm-hmm. like, duh. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, well, I had to be, and I, like, it's, like, I'm, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but I feel like for me growing up, it was just, like, I had to die to myself all the time, because.
You just activated me, die to myself, ugh.
Yeah, sorry, I know it's a spiritual it's phrase, okay, but, like, I'm just, like, 20 years of therapy, Josie.
I know.
Sorry, no.
I need more.
But, no, it's like. More. But I'm like, that's literally what I personally, I know people respond to trauma differently, but like, that's what I had to do. And I actually worked in preschool for a year and a half and I enjoyed it, but it was also like a job that my dad wanted me to have. He wanted me working with kids because I came to him at 13 and I'm like, hey, I want to be a film director, you know? And he's like, basically telling me like, no, he doesn't want to see me do that. And, you know, just because basically I'm loved or felt loved at home, like the world's not going to think I'm wonderful. Mm. Which now I'm just kind of like, you know, just watch me because I'm going to go get a fine arts degree in film. And like, I'm going to have boys as far as I'm mm-hmm. concerned. So I'm just like, you know, so that's why I went back to school. But I, you know, I would go to my dad about different ideas and he basically got it around to me working with kids. And I love kids. But preschool sapped me. And it, like, I feel like my identity was really getting stripped there because I, so many people, like, little kids, and, like, I mean, I still don't know what my favorite color is. I only recently decided what my favorite fast food place is. Like, the easiest thing, like, I was in public speaking class yesterday, and we had to be in groups, and we had to go through a list of, like, personal priorities in our lives, and they were the same items on each list. And as a group, we had to decide what ordering we could, you know, come to agreement on the you know, like freedom or mm-hmm. physical health. Like we had to reorder them in a way that we all agreed. And like, a part of me was like, because I wasn't agreeing with something at first. And I was like, I can just die right now and just say whatever, you know, mm-hmm. just like, yeah, I don't mind. And I knew, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to die anymore. So obviously I'm still definitely like working on stuff. Freaking mm-hmm. time, but I guess it's just the little victories. It's just like seeing myself in a new light and being like, no, I lost my voice once, and mm-hmm. like I'm not gonna lay it down anymore, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, those little victories add up until one day you wake up and realize that you don't give a fuck. It fake it till you make it is so real. I wish I could like just emphasize that in so much to people. Like, people always ask me like, oh, how do you have such high self-esteem? And sometimes it's a little pointed, like, hey, you're fat or ugly, why do you have such high self-esteem?
Oh my gosh. And you didn't kick him in the teeth?
Nah, they never say
I
it like that.
Steel water bottle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I do have my steel water bottle. It has a handle now. I have a Stanley dupe, not a knockoff. Nice. It's a dupe, thanks TikTok. Okay. But yeah, I tell people all the time, it's I convince myself My mom said I was fat and ugly, so I told myself I wasn't until I believed it.
Your mom said that?
Well, my mother, I mean, she has a lot of, she's very insecure as a person, so, and okay. Mexican culture is just like, oh, you're fat, oh, you're skinny, or, and then your nickname becomes that. It's just so ingrained in the culture. Like, I remember not having any body issues until we were planning the wedding, and I bought a wedding dress, and then COVID happened, and I gained weight because no shit, Sherlock, okay? Yeah. And I was like, I'm not gonna, like, I could squeeze into it and it looked all right because I hadn't gained that much weight. But I was like, I want to be comfy. And so, but I remember before I decided to buy a new dress, my family was just like, you're fat, you haven't, and they're like, you've gained weight. And I was like, well, I wouldn't know. I don't weigh myself. And I was like, probably not. I don't know. I don't care. And then at one point they were just like, well, why don't you go try on your wedding dress then? And I lost my fucking mind. I was like, Ryan, let's go. Like, I just could not. I was starting to feel it. I was starting to internalize it. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here and let you guys tear me down when I've worked so hard to build myself back up. And it became a whole conflict and conversation, which is actually funny because this conflict really arose like a huge argument. And I remember just saying after this long family meeting, and I was like, I just want to get to a point where we can just apologize for hurting each other's feelings. And it goes silent, and my family's like, well, except for my mom, because she's a narcissist, but everybody, even my sister, who we don't get along, she's just like, yeah, I guess that's fair.
You're a little,
It's like, why do I have to put everything into such, like, toddler perspectives for you all to fucking get it? But
because, yeah, emotionally, people are still toddlers.
Yeah. But faking it till you make it, it's going to add up, and you're going to get to where you need to be. Believe you me. My life was fucked up. And it's still fucked up, but I feel so much better about myself.
Yeah, I think life is probably always a little bit fucked up. I an expectation for it to never be fucked up at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I don't want to have that. But at the same time, we don't. I don't know, maybe the aim is always less and less fucked up, like, just little by little. I don't know.
I mean, because we were taught in evangelicalism that if your life isn't going great, then you're not right with the Lord. When it's like, no, we're human beings on a shitty planet, and sometimes shit happens, and it sucks, and it's allowed to suck. And yeah, we should find joy and peace and understanding and all that, whatever. But we're allowed to say that this sucks, and it has nothing to do with our relationship with the divine.
Yeah, like, we were taught that bad stuff happened because God was letting it happen to teach us something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I don't really think of the divine as male right now, I'm just going to say, because I have not all males, obviously, but just a male and, like, the occasional jerk.
It's all right. I didn't hang out with women for a long time because I had mommy issues. I wasn't so much a pick-me girl because, I mean, maybe, but I was not like other girls, but I didn't, like, say, oh, you're stupid for wearing makeup. It's just like, I just don't wear makeup. I can't be bothered.
You're like, I'm busy now.
Yeah. I'm sad. My life is falling apart. But yeah, I really had to heal my relationship with women after my mother. I just, like, got into this introspective point in my head. That's so funny. Well, I would love for you to tell people how you found our church. I mean, because, not to toot my own horn, but I think that we've built a really cute little community full of ragamuffins. I mean, because it's not, I feel like a lot of gay churches just, like, or look very evangelical after the fact, and they're like, with their cute light shows and great graphic design, and I was so over that. Mm-hmm. And then I got to this church and I was like, oh, look at this old building. I love old buildings. Look at this weird, look at the pews. Look at the
The pews are so hard.
Yeah. And I mean, we're just full of highly intellectual people, which is a problem. I'm trying to get normal people up in this bitch too, because, but how did you find us? Like, our crazy little church.
So I started Googling, and I'm guessing I was looking for affirming, because I think I looked at like Anglican or Episcopalian, but like, just I couldn't get over the robes. I'm sorry, I couldn't get over the robes.
Oh, and thank God. You tell Bruce that on Sunday, because Bruce wants us to wear fucking robes when we preach. Anyways, that's a
no
insider trading.
Don't,
okay, I don't allow it. I told Bruce that it's okay. Not happening.
Yeah, no. Anyway, I found Community.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the full name, but the Community Methodist Church in Huntington Beach, and I emailed them.
Our little sister church.
Yep. And then they transferred me to Brian Tipton, and he gave me the information on the church, you know, the community one, but he also gave me information for First, and he's like, this is like a deconstruction church. A lot of people your age love it, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, I'm coming. And yeah, I went once, and then I tried a couple other churches. I tried a Mariners. That was an hour of my life. I'll never get back.
That sucks.
But anyway, yeah. And then I just, once I told my parents that, you know, I didn't believe in hell and all that, I was just like, I'm coming back because I need something stable in my life. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That's, kudos to Brian then. Pastor Brian for telling me about it.
Yeah, I love Brian. So Brian started off at our church, and then when he got ordained to be, what is it, like a fucking deacon or something? I don't know how. I think, well, he's a reverend. Like when you're in ordained, you become a reverend, but you have different jobs. So he's like a deacon or something. I don't know. I should know about the Methodist church, but I don't, because we're just such a weird Methodist church. And he does like interconnect. This is what I really appreciate about where we go to church, is like one of the many things is that Brian is in four different churches technically. So one Sunday a month at each church or whatever. And he kind of does things based on like personality. Like if somebody's looking for a more traditionally Methodist place that isn't as woohoo as we are, then he'll direct them accordingly. But then if you need something like a deconstructed community full of young people and old people, because that's cute to see too, like intergenerational.
I love old people.
Oh my gosh, me too. I love, Bruce is my best friend. I'm gonna tell him that on Sunday. Bruce, we're best friends, even though he doesn't tell me shit because he's so secretive.
He's so cute. I think little old guys are so cute. I hope he doesn't listen to your podcast.
Oh, he probably doesn't. And if he does, hi Bruce. That's how I greet him every Sunday. Hi Bruce. I think he likes it that I
tease. That's a little creepy. Josie, that's a little creepy, but
it's okay. I know it's creepy. That's why I do it, because I like to creep out Bruce. I like to creep out old white men.
you probably could get a role on some type of film. Like, call me in a few years. I can probably cast you something. That voice. The voice, like, I can't get over your voice, though. So.
If you ever need a crazy bitch, I can act real crazy. I have no shame. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to keep your number.
Yeah, we should do when you're rich and famous and leave us, that's great. I love it.
Well, no, I'm not gonna leave you guys. You're and I like leave. Help.
That's fine.
Well, I don't want to. Are you telling you're me right. to leave?
Huh?
Are you telling me to leave?
No. I'm okay. Leaving the world open to you. If you need to go live in Paris, go live in Paris, you know? That's none of my business. Watch us online. I don't know if there's a lot of film in Paris. I don't know why I said Paris. Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Actually, we should do film stuff for the church. You should help me with that. Because I'm trying to make things fancier.
Talk to me.
Anyways, enough church talk. But I'm curious, what is it like for you at the beginning of your journey back into church and in a deconstruction space? What are the feelings that are coming up for you?
Like when I'm in church, like at first, or...
Yeah, now that you're back. Like, I mean, I went through a period of like, why the fuck am I here? I hated church, but I love this stupid little church. I was very conflicted. So what, like, how do you feel coming back?
I feel good. I feel a real sense of peace when I'm at First United. And I can't get over communion, because we did not do communion like that personal at the church I came from. We to the cups, and we all stayed seated. Like, I can't get over us all going up and all, you know, using the same bread, same cup, and all that. But yeah, I just feel at peace while I'm there. And yeah, okay, I don't do that great in crowds, so I'm working on that. But and like something I do is when you guys do like worship, like I'm standing there and I'm like reading the words and I'm like deciding if I agree with the words.
Oh, we do that all the time, girl. Don't you worry. Yeah. We vet the songs.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I'm like, well, actually, we're not wretches. Or, you know, just, well, I can have my own opinion, whatever. Nice music. But, yeah, I don't know. It just feels good. Like, I've never, like, and it didn't go through a time where I just didn't go to church at all. I didn't do that. But I think it's important for me to have something where I can, you know, feel grounded in community, because mm-hmm. like I can isolate, like I'm a really good isolator and I can keep myself happy on YouTube and books. Same. But it's not healthy. And then yeah, then the hug deprivation really, really sinks in. So I'm just like, yeah, no, like that's one of the things, because I deconstructed this past year. So like mm-hmm. from January, you know, so 11 months, and like that, like I'm just like kind of left with like a feeling of like hug deprivation or needing to be held, because like I didn't feel close to my parents for like so long. And it's like, yeah, they still love me, but they were kind of putting me through hell, through like family devotions. Like that is like talking about stuff that I need to hear, but it's directed at the group. And so just like living in fear of that, I just really like kind of emotionally separated from them, which was hard because it's like,
well, they're your parents.
Yeah, it's hard because they're your parents, you know. And it's like, and you, it was kind of like going against everything I tried to do, because I always would try to keep peace, and I'd like because I can know, like I can be the one in the room who knows that my sister or my mom shouldn't have said something, because I'm like, how can they be so stupid? Obviously that was going to set dad off, but they just say it. It's like they don't think, and I'm like the one who's hyper aware, and I'm just kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going what anymore, but yeah, church is good. I like being in church where I'm at, and I wouldn't want to be in church anywhere else.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm at. If this church doesn't work out for me, which it is. I don't know why I keep saying that. I'm just like, if this doesn't work out, I'm never going back.
Haven't you been there for a while?
I fucking run the place. And I'm like, if this one doesn't work out.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, I think it might close for a while until they can rehire.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, it's probably my fucking fault. Because I did some stupid shit. I don't know. I just always. It's like when Ryan and I, if we ever joke about getting divorced, he's just like, well, if we get divorced, it's going to be your fault. And I was like, how dare you know that is true.
How dare you speak truth into my life,
because Lord knows, even if he's the one that cheats on me, I'm gonna be the one that says fuck you, I'm not working on this, you know. It's gonna be my fault, it's fine, I've accepted it. Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah,
I also like just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. I like, once I start hanging out with one person,
yeah,
I'm good. Put me in a group and I'm like, well, I don't have loud panic attacks. They just happen in my head. So
yeah. I feel the same. I have a lot of social anxiety, which people don't generally believe me. Which is fun, because I so identify with you being hug deprived, because in college, it was always a big fucking joke that Josie, don't touch Josie. She doesn't like to be touched. And I remember like hugging people when they graduated, and they were like, oh my God, I'm getting a hug. It was like this huge emotional moment for my friends.
It's like, wow, Josie hugged me. What happened?
Know,
did she die?
Really,
what?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, now, she already
died. Now my best friend like will sit really close to me on the couch and like will touch shoulders, and she just feels so giddy, like, ee! And I'm like, you can cuddle me. I'm over it. You can cuddle me now.
You're like, I'm 28 now. I'm so mature. You know?
So mature. Although physical touch is definitely not my love language, and Ryan is. It is his love language, and it's it's an issue for him. Bummer.
Yeah, that's my dad's is physical touch. So like, he's trying to have like a touching conversation with me, and he's holding my hands, and his hands are cold. I'm just sitting there like passively, like, I don't want to do it to you right now.
Yeah, don't touch me, bitch. I
like,
hate
I'm,
that.
Like, I'm mad at, like, is it because I'm, like, still, like, have issues or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't, I mean, my parents are always like, you don't hug us. And I was like, you didn't hug me. Okay? Like,
they always hugged me. It's not that they didn't hug me, they did.
Just... Yeah. I mean, I'm sure my parents hugged me when I was a kid, but, like, once you hit your kids, you don't get to hug your kids. Like,
oh, really? Because it's supposed to be you spank them that's hitting them, and then they're supposed to give you a hug. Isn't that so perverted?
Yeah, I hate it. It is. It's stupid. I'm like, you can't be an aggressor and want affection. Sorry.
It's so satanic. This one's satanic.
Amen. Amen, girl. Satan all up in that bitch, even though we don't believe in
him. What?
Even though I don't believe in him.
I'm the
devil.
It's like there's like a teaching too, like it could just be like it's a force of evil. So like
exactly. That's what I believe in the forces of evil. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, like my family was not stuff. But when I started rebelling, which was just me making decisions for my own life, just we started talking about Satan a whole bunch and Satan getting a hold in our life and wow, my dad actually prayed for Satan to be bound because I said no.
Yeah, fuck that.
Funny.
Oh my gosh. Well, you're going to have to come back on the podcast and we're going to have to do this again. We should do some like deep dive research kind of podcast together. I feel like that'd be cute. Maybe something film related. Yeah. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to start dreaming up. Well, is there anything you want to plug? Do you want to be able to follow you on Instagram? If not, that's cool too. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd like them to follow me. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's right. You build that following, girl.
Yeah. No. So do I like do my username or my like actual name?
No, like your user. Okay. What's your username? Yeah. So people
can find
you fast.
Well, Savannah. Okay. I'm like, I'm confused which is which, but like, so it's Savannah Thomas, but underneath that is like Savannah Unleashed. So
yeah, Savannah Unleashed would be the handle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Savannah Unleashed, all one word.
Yeah, she does great videos, friends. So you should go watch them.
Oh, you watch them?
What do you mean? You followed me, then I followed you back, and you. Well, what do you mean?
I didn't know if you're watching my videos.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, which ones have you seen? I'm like, what did you watch me do?
I mean, I've seen probably most of them at this point. Yeah. What the hell? I don't post shit on Instagram thinking nobody watches them. Of course people are watching them.
Well, I mean, I didn't know you were watching my Instagram videos. So now I'm like,
why is that so weird?
I don't know.
Because I have a podcast?
No, because I grew up in the backwoods and I don't know.
Oh, I get that wasn't you.
And I started Instagram without permission, so I was bad.
Oh, okay. I understand. Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay, that makes a lot of sense why you didn't know what your handle was. Okay, you're still new to the game. I like it then. I love that. Yeah, you're doing great. For somebody that's new to the game, you're killing it.
Thanks.
It's all right. I get it. I mean, you watch my shit, don't you?
Well, yeah, but you knew I was because I was hitting like and commenting. So you're like, you're doing your, like... Your detective team.
Oh, sorry. I just scroll.
Okay.
I'm really bad at liking and I'm trying to get better at that actively because apparently it's great for the algorithm or whatever. And I'm like, ugh, I have to comment on things. Why? Yeah, so I'll
just
get better
like,
at
comment.
Okay. I'm just going to go through and like all your videos now.
Oh, no. My phone's going to go off. Well, thank you in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, follow Savannah, guys. You can follow us at Speaking in Church, or me, I guess I should say. I'm at Josie Takes the World. That's my less interesting Instagram. It's a lot of dog content. But if you like dogs, I got my puppies up in that bitch. We got a tip jar. We got merch. Buy it for your family members that are evangelical and piss them off. Yeah, that's it. Stay woke or get woke, friends, please. For the love of all that is good. Bye!
This has been an Irreverent Media Podcast.